The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome, dear listener, to Fear from the Heartland. I'm your host, Paul J. McSorley. Set aside some moments now and take an adventurous ride on a journey into the psyche of some talented writers. They will dig into your being and titillate you. Oh, I love that word, titillate. While the stories may not all take place in the Heartland, I am delivering them to you from the Heartland. My intention is to strike fear and confusion into the mind, soul, and yes, the heart. This is Fear from the Heartland. Hello, Heartlanders, and welcome to Season 7, Episode 6 of Fear from the Heartland. I'm your host, Paul J. McSorley. Hey, Heartlanders, you guys patrons yet? Visit simplyscarypodcast.com and click Patrons in the upper menu to join the club. You'll get ad-free versions of this and all our other podcasts, including hundreds of standalone releases from our audio archives dating back to 2012. It's a great way to show your support, and you get a whole lot for it. Hit the like button, people. All I care about. A cook's apprentice is throwing copious amounts of herbs into the dish when the cook walks in and says, "Stop wasting my time." What did the spiritual waffle say to his apprentice? "Let go your ego." The blacksmith hires an apprentice. He instructed the boy, "When I take the shoe out of the fire, I'll lay it on the anvil. When I nod my head, you hit it with the hammer." The apprentice did exactly as he was told, and now he's the new village blacksmith. A very cool tale tonight by Dirk Stevens. Let's get after it. The qualities we see in others are not always readily evident. Even a poor, lonely girl at the worst moment of her life can be somebody remarkable. A traveling wizard finds a young girl at her lowest point, sees her potential, and declares her a sorceress to protect her. Was it only to protect her, or did he see so much more? And now, I present to you, Apprentice by Dirk Stevens. In the beginning, it is always dark.
"Do you know?"
I'll never forget the look in her eyes, the soft rasp of her voice as she sat there in their hovel, stroking her dying mother's hand.
"Do you know why this is happening?"
I slid the vial back into its case. 'Tis the blight. Heaving a deep breath, I pulled the gargoyle mask from my face and tucked it beside the vial with the rest of my equipment. There is nothing I can do. The girl's lips tensed. She passed her mother a pained-looking wince and clutched the young woman's pale fingers tighter. But 'twas her next words that caught me off guard.
No. I mean, why is this happening?
She nodded at the window.
The fog, the blight, everything.
My eyebrows raised, so young to ask such questions. Why indeed?
Is it true?
The girl's voice whispered, barely audible over her mother's gasps.
Is it because of...
She glanced up for the first time since I came to her, but only to search the shadows before speaking.
Him?
I drew my tongue between my teeth, shuffled over to the window, and peered out between the boards, out across the skeletal tops of the ruined buildings poking out of the mist below. Listen to the moans of those I could not cure calling out for him. I grunted, "You're far too young to concern yourself with such things, little one." And yet, who is young anymore? Who among us had any innocence left to protect? Any hope? I folded my arms over my chest, and yet she asked, not in hope, but even he was once a man, once a child, a seed. Her mother's breaths fell silent. The girl whimpered, straining to hold back her tears. Quiet. I squinted up at the sky, at the thin green mist choking out the sun, the shroud that kept her people in eternal twilight. 'Tis only her first death. Soon one will take hold, and her body will answer. What comes next will not be human. You must not cry.
Then it is true,
her tiny voice gasped. Aye and nay. For a moment, we sat in silence, waiting for the putrid scent of the breath to come. I cast one last murderous glare at the sun before turning to face her. You must not be here when her body wakes. She blinked up with wide, frightened, piebald eyes.
Where should I go?
That's when I realized, fool that I am, there she was, alone in this place. A little girl and her dying mother. No father, no brother or sister, no aunts or cousins to be with her. I glanced from the bed to the box of clothes in the corner. The ragdoll tucked under her arm, my mouth pulled to a pucker. I took in her bony arms, her short black hair, the dirty white t-shirt she wore as a dress, rope tied around her waist, and oversized work boots. The dark hollows under her eyes. Aye, a little girl she may have been, but not so little as I first thought. Malnourished and small, but perhaps as old as 16, no more than 20. Two over dolls in any case. And her eyes. I shuffled back to the chair, pushed the nose of the mask out of the way. There is a shelter not far from here, the Vilak Umu. She cut me off with a huff.
The Vilak Umu?
Her whole face convulsed.
You can't be serious.
I shrugged, doing my best to hide the laugh rumbling in my chest. I'm afraid there aren't many options for a girl in your position. There's the Vilak Umu, as I said. Or I suppose you could take your chances in the Warrens. You may find work at the laundry or in the kitchens, but young and pretty as you are, I doubt it would prove much different than working the charnel houses. There's always the verge, of course. But if you'll pardon my saying, you don't strike me as the warrior type. Her gaze fell to her mother. A single tear ran down her cheek. "Or," I grunted, snapping my case closed. "You could come with me." Her lips parted, gaze fixed on her mother's corpse. "Become my apprentice. You'll have a great deal to learn, very little rest, but no one shall lay a finger on you, and you won't be under anyone's authority but mine." A light rue settled on the mother's lifeless cheeks, and my breath caught in my throat. I was playing the fool, squandering the moments of quiet death in conversation rather than ushering her to safety. Returning to my purpose, I brushed the corners of my mustache from my lips with the back of my thumb, hissed, "Quickly, child," and took up my leather case. "We must away. Very soon now, this room will not be safe. Gather what you need and let's be off." She gaped at me, shook her head, as if to say there was nothing to take, turned back to her mother's corpse, and pressed her lifeless hand to her lips.
"Mother."
Tears trailed down her cheeks. I tossed a glance at the door, making sure it was open. But the girl, where she sat, 'twas far too close. "Girl, get away from there!" And that's when it happened, the second habitation. Whatever spirit had won the right slipped into the mother's flesh with a deep, ragged moan. The girl's lips lifted from her mother's hand, her eyes wide. "Girl!" I shouted, clutching the case to my chest as the mother's arm jerked from the girl's fingers and slammed against the bed. The girl jumped to her feet, eyes wide, lips trembling as she watched her mother's chest arch off the mattress. Her face stretched into a pale, inhuman scream, but instead, it laughed, a shrill cackle that sent goosebumps racing down my arms. She staggered back, eyes locked on the creature slipping into her mother's body, until at last she was close enough to make a grab. I stole a quick glance at the creature, at the jet-black eyes darting back and forth like two caged animals, but not in unison, and froze. The creature jolted up, head tipped to one side, mouth gaping, "Life!" Without warning, her arms lifted, as if pulled by strings at the wrists. Her head flopped to the other side. "Life!" A soft whimper at my elbow pulled me to my senses just as the body stood. Not got up, not struggled to its feet, but lifted erect like some unholy marionette. The girl's whimper broke into a gasp. I clamped my hands over her mouth. She tried to spin away. I wrapped my arm around her middle and, as quiet and smooth as possible, began dragging her toward the door, whispering as I went, "Shh, shh, don't struggle. Don't make a sound." "Brave girl," she nodded, but I dared not take my hand from her mouth, fixated on the thing that used to be her mother standing on her bed as she was. Its black eyes spinning, its arms and legs flailing about, its shrill voice laughing, "Life!" over and over.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Bitter work. Weeks passed. The girl haunted my steps, followed me from town to town, watched as I set broken arms, mended ghoul bites, and stitched together ragged tears of the flesh. But ever did she remain at a distance, little more than a shadow, always watching, always ready to vanish without a moment's pause. I allowed her this, left her food and clothing, always made certain there was a place for her to sleep wherever I stayed, provided protection. Yet never did I approach, never asked her for anything, never pursued her in any way. Such was the nature of our companionship, and if it never went further, at least I knew she was safe and provided for. This girl I wounded with my foolishness. But one day, as we traveled high in the mountains, far above the mist of the dead, a shepherd came running down the path. I glanced back over my shoulder, just in time to catch the girl's foot vanish behind a boulder as the man trotted to a stop.
"Forgive me, sir,"
he grumbled in his mountain slur, pulling the hat from his head when he trotted to a halt.
"I heard the wizard be traveling this way and,
he crumpled his hat in his hands.
"If you be him, I'd be much obliged."
His bald head flushed.
"What I mean to say is, me woman be having a bay and the midwife be saying..."
His chin shook and he turned his head as if to hide his tears. I don't recall saying anything to the man, only laying a hand on his shoulder and leveling my staff back the way he had come. Instead, he led us across a flower-covered alpine meadow to a small stone hut with a grass roof, half built into a pile of boulders. The inside was small, thick with smoke and smelt of lavender and peppermint. The work of the midwives, I suspected, the lavender to calm the troubled mother and the peppermint to reduce nausea. Three midwives, as it turned out. The women, their faces shrouded beneath the dark bonnets of their order, all clad in white robes and aprons, stood beside a bed near the hearth, while the third hunched over a small table chopping herbs, all looking up as we entered. The shepherd barged in with all the subtlety of a rampaging bull, elbowed his way to his wife's side and fell to his knees beside the bed, taking her hand as he did so with a strangely fluid, lumbering tenderness.
"I found him, Mama,"
kissed her hand.
"I brung the wizard."
But if his wife responded, I didn't hear it.
"Wizard,"
I snorted and ducked through the threshold. "Hardly." But now was not the time. Laying my walking stick aside, I tossed my hat on a chair beside the table and set my case on the end opposite the woman chopping herbs. "Rosemary." I caught the woman's gaze and offered her an approving nod. "It seems the patient is well in hand. What need have you for me?"
"Humbly, great wizard,"
the woman bowed her head, stole a glance at her sisters and whispered,
"The child is too large. It cannot pass."
"I see." Dropping my pack beside the door, I opened the case, slid my hand into the pouch behind the vials, extracted my surgical kit, and found her gaze once more. "Then it's to be born of blood." She licked her lips and nodded.
"The lady shone."
A shadow fell across the table, and her gaze lifted to the doorway.
"Can I help you?"
"Oh." Without looking, I waved at the door, laid my kit on the table beside the case, and after unbinding the strap, unrolled the bundle. "Not to worry. 'Tis only my assistant."
"Your..."
The midwife's knife fell to the table.
But, sir,"
she gasped. But it was the one of the others that finished her objection.
"It's forbidden for..."
"Any daughter to gaze upon the inner workings of the body. Aye, that be true." I sniffed, straightened to my full height, and folded my hands behind my back. "And my right to choose my own protege." The woman's shoulders slumped as she bowed her head.
"Forgive me, great wizard. I meant no offense, but the law of the lady
applies to daughters of the way." I let this hang for a moment, then added, "But not to wizards." Again, I let the point marinate before arching a single eyebrow at the girl cowering in the doorway. "Or sorceresses."
You mean...
The color drained from the midwife's face. "In the name of heaven," she drew the sign of the lady over her chest.
"Cursed I be for not seeing it sooner."
She stepped back from the table, bowing low.
"A sorceress has come just as foretold."
She motioned for her sisters.
"Come, we must tell the prelate at once."
No sooner had they rushed from the hut, twittering like schoolgirls, each bowing low as they passed the girl lurking just beyond the threshold, than the shepherd stumbled to his feet, looking for all the world as though caught somewhere in limbo between the need to vomit, urinate, and faint.
"Sir," he stammered, shifting his weight between his feet, "what you be wanting o' me?"
I waved the girl in. "Flowers."
"Flowers?"
he croaked. I leveled what I hoped would pass as a serious glare. "The forces assailing your bride are of the darkest kind. They feed on pain, ugliness, and despair." The girl slunk into the hut. I directed her to a pail of water one of the midwives had placed on a stool near the bed and fixed my attention on the shepherd. "The pain I shall end. The sorceress, despair but you. I'm counting on to bring beauty to this place, to land the fatal blow, as it were." The shepherd's brow furrowed, so I pressed my chin against my chest, peered at him over my spectacles, and added, "Can I?" The woman groaned, the shepherd's gaze jerked to his wife, and I cast my final bait. "Can she count on your aid?"
"I,"
he whispered, cleared his throat, and repeated louder,
"I,"
and marched toward the door, pausing only long enough for a parting glance at his wife. I followed him as far as the threshold, pushed the door closed, and for the first time since we met, the girl spoke.
"I don't know anything about babies."
I hurried to the bed, laid my hand on the woman's brow, checked her pulse, and found both acceptable given the circumstances. But her sense had departed, her water already broke, and the bedclothes needing changing before I could begin. "The tide has already come. We'll need to begin immediately." I folded back the coverings and said to the girl, "Find a pot, heat the water to boiling, find me some clean linens and steel yourself. Remain at a distance if you must, but keep your wits about you." The surgery went well enough. The mountain folk are a hardy lot, if not the most sanitary, though in later days I came to suspect the sanitation we practiced in my youth may have led to some of the ills that followed. But I digress. The girl, for her part, proved an able-bodied assistant. Of course, she couldn't tell a scalpel from a spreader, but her inexperience did nothing to dissuade her willingness to help. She stood close at hand throughout, handing me objects as I pointed and described, only interrupting my concentration to ask simple and occasionally deeply insightful questions. These persisted even as we gathered the linens and tools for cleaning. As she stood by the sleeping mother, holding her infant son to her breast.
"She's so pale."
I finished wiping the ale from the smallest of my obsidian blades. "She's been through an ordeal."
"Will she live?"
I peered at her over my spectacles, standing still and small beside the sleeping mother. "She weathered it well, and her people aren't given to infection." "I believe so." A slight smile curled her lips, then faded in a trembling gasp. A thought that needn't be spoken. one etched into every crease of her young face, carved deep by the obsidian blade of time and the Vilak Umu. But as I stood there watching her, admiring her strength, she who had never witnessed birth before, let alone one of blood, who did not pale or shrink, who even now was not horrified by what she had seen, perhaps, I thought, she could be the one. If only I could open her eyes without closing her heart. "'Tis an amazing thing, is it not?" I whispered. "To see life renewed through blood and pain?" She nodded, her gaze fixed on the mother and her son.
"You lied."
I tucked the scalpel back in its pouch and drew a pair of forceps from the bowl of ale. "Did I? When?"
"You said I was a sorceress."
I wiped them clean, held them up to the sunlight pouring in through the window. "Aren't you?" She turned from the bed, pressed her hands to her hips. 'Twas such a comical display, I couldn't help but laugh. "Oh dear, how terrible of me." I tucked the forceps into the case beside the scalpel and reached back into the bowl. I needed an assistant. The midwives served the lady, hence could not be of aid. The husband would not have understood what had to happen here. The first cut would have caused any number of reactions, all bad. I cleaned the last of my instruments and wiped my hands dry. "No. You were the only option, and the midwives would never have allowed you to remain if not for my deception." Wincing, she pushed a stray strand of hair behind her ear, as if weighing my words carefully. "Besides," I grunted, and her lips pulled taut. "Who's to say a sorceress in training isn't a sorceress?" Her brow furrowed, but before she could ask the question painted on her face, I nodded at the door. "Go find her husband. I have some instructions to give before we depart."
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games, and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere, with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
The Road. From the shepherd's hovel, we traveled north into the Valley of Sands. I meant to stay to the western dunes, visit the oasis to replenish my supplies. But as we reached the final crest before the descent, twilight fell. And rather than attempt the desert at night, we found a secluded hollow beside the road and made camp overlooking the valley. Given the absence of cloud and the time of year, there was no need for shelter, only fire and bedroll. Our supplies were somewhat lacking, but enough that I saw no need to go hungry after such a grueling day, particularly with the oasis only a day's walk from the southern border, provided the wind didn't blow. With the fire down to coals, I took a handful of acorn flour, added a measure of water, portioned out two cakes, and laid them in the pan. With these, I fried two onions we had the good fortune to find growing beside the road as we walked, and the last of the salted pork.
"You lied."
'Twas the first time the girl had spoken in some miles, and as my mind was on our lack of lard or cooking oil, I answered in the only way I could.
"You said you weren't a wizard. and you said you'd teach me magic.
I slid the end of my belt knife under one of the cakes, gave it a flip and smiled, pleased to find it had not stuck to the pan. Did I? She squatted down, knees together, and studied me from across the fire ring.
You did?
I didn't recall, but sensitive as she seemed to dishonesty, calling me a liar twice in one day, I didn't doubt her. She held out her hands, palms open, as if to warm them by the coals.
Who did you lie to? The midwives or me?
So typical how clear everything seems to those who lack knowledge and believe logic can compensate. I flipped the other cake, looked up, and stared right into her strange piebald eyes, one green, one blue. Neither. Her mouth curled into a frown, but she did not look away. I turned my attention to the onions. What do you know of magic? She folded her arms back over her knees with a sigh.
Not much.
Nor do the midwives, nor the mountain folk, nor any of the people we are like to encounter. They call me wizard because I have knowledge they lack. I perform deeds they cannot comprehend, and so they call it magic. Do you understand?
I think so.
She settled down on her backside.
So, the magic you promised to teach me isn't really magic. You just called it magic because that's what people think it is.
Chuckling under my breath, I gave the onions a stir. Such a clever girl. Not exactly. I pushed the pork closer to the onions so the fat would aid in their cooking. What happened to your mother? I wiped the knife clean on my sleeve of my robe, gazed at her over my spectacles. How does it fit the definition of magic you just offered? Her brow creased. She turned away, and for a moment I thought I made a mistake, stirred a simmering pan to boil. But then she whispered, almost too soft to hear,
I don't know.
Ah. I raised my knife, pointed it at her with the tip and grunted. And those three words, girl, are the beginning of all knowledge. She tipped up her head ever so slightly, peered at me from under her brow, her sullen face a mask.
What did happen then?
I scratched the stubble on my chin, took the handle of the pan in one hand, and flipped the pork with my knife in the other. What happens to all flesh that passes in the realm of the Silent King?
Ack!
She sat up, eyes wide, drew her hand across her chest, fingers spread, as if pulling some invisible cloth over her heart and tossed it on the ground. The ritual of cleansing. And such a display. With one act, she laid bare all her knowledge and beliefs. Beliefs I knew so well I could not help but laugh. What shall I call him then? Quipermi? The name he bore in life? Before the Vilak Umu mummified his corpse and employed that husk as a means to power?
Be silent!
She jumped to her feet, pale and trembling. Every bit the girl I took her for. A child of the mist, steeped in the lessons of the Vilak Umu. And I went back to our supper, which was nearly ready, and having become accustomed to eating from the pan, drew two forked sticks from my pack and offered her one. You needn't worry, girl. The Vilak Umu hold no sway beyond the mist. I glanced down at the dunes, glowing soft in the pale light of the rising moon. Below, 'tis a different place, a borderland, and I should not speak so freely. At this, she stepped back.
The Verge?
Again, she performed the ritual of cleansing.
We're going to the Verge?
But when I nodded, whether 'twas the lack of fear in my eyes or her own desperate need, her body relaxed. She coughed out a loud, almost mocking laugh, snatched the stick from my hand and dropped back to her place by the coals.
You're mad, she snorted, and stuck the forked end of her stick into a chunk of pork. And I'm mad for following you. She shoved the meat into her mouth. Then, as she started to chew, mumbled, You didn't answer. My mom. Was it magic?
I twisted the end of my mustache, doing my very best not to smile as I stabbed the other bit of pork, and before plopping it in my mouth managed an aye, which did not satisfy, judging by the skull she leveled in response. The eye roll that nearly made me choke with laughter. That answer requires a fuller understanding of the world. I wiped my lips on the back of my hand. Of what can be seen and what cannot. I let this settle, taking the opportunity to lift the water skin to my mouth before asking, What do you know of those who walk unseen? Already knowing how she, a child of the mist, would answer. She shook her head.
Not much, only that.
She glanced back over her shoulder at the ring of darkness closing in around us as the light of the coals faded.
His servants are always watching.
The Silent King's servants, I took her to mean, but did not argue the point. Not yet. First the foundation, then it may be built upon. And I determined to use the very stones laid by my adversaries, the teachings of the Vilak Umu, to free her of their foul doctrine. I nodded, turning my fork to one of the acorn cakes. And how do they do this? Always watch everywhere and yet go unseen. 'Tis a difficult task to cover so vast an area for even the greatest of spies, let alone the army it would require.
They are not men, she whispered, but spirit.
Spirits have no substance. I broke loose a corner of the cake and speared it. Are they messengers only? She didn't answer, didn't need to. The tales of his servants' cruelty to those who oppose their master was common knowledge, and 'twas not my intention to shatter this belief so much as harness it. How do they, who have no substance, inflict such suffering? They have no hands, no legs, no voices.
They don't need to.
Her frightened face shone ghostly in the red light of the coals.
They haunt men's dreams and drive them mad, tip the scales of fortune, make the bad choice seem good.
And are all spirits servants of the Silent King? I lifted my chin at the dark expanse below, dotted here and there by the campfires of desert wanderers resting in the distance. Even those who oppose him? The djinn? River spirits, triads, sylphs, and the like? Those charged with running the natural world? At this, her brow wrinkled.
'Twas the fatal flaw of the Vilak Umu. If he was the unchallenged ruler of all who walk unseen, if the Vilak Umu alone were his voice in the world of men, then how do those beyond the mist know djinn exist at all? How do those who commune with the spirits of the natural world know their will? Receive their warnings, and schooled by the priests of the Silent King as she was, 'twas this contradiction she could only answer in the way she did. It is folly to question his ways. He transcended beyond the physical world. We cannot know what he knows.
Though even as she spoke, her voice shrunk and her eyes could not hold my gaze. So 'twas I answered her original question. Not all who walk unseen are subjects of the Silent King, girl. I took a bit of onion, tucked it into my cheek, and drank in the flavor. Nor are all spirits beneficial to our species or this world in general. And not all wish to walk unseen. Many who die wish to return. But to live in the physical world requires a body. They have no substance, but their presence, their despair and hopeless longing cools the air. The living feel it when one passes near
and if there are many such tormented souls, mist gathers, just as fog on the moors. When someone dies beneath the mist, their natural spirit is called away. The body for a brief time is emptied. But then, whatever being is able to rustle past the horde fighting to enter this reality, climbs inside and passes into the living world until it weakens and is wrenched from its body by another. Perhaps someone who died. Perhaps something more vile. Over and over until the body becomes too worn to contain a spirit. Then, and only then, does the flesh rest. Such is the legacy of the Vilak-Umu. To this, she had no answer, nor did she eat another bite. Only sat in utter silence, chewing on her bottom lip, transfixed by the coals. Until at last, nearly swallowed by the gathering darkness, she crept over to her bedroll, lay down, and curled into a ball.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Verge.
Night passed without incident, but as Morpheus relinquished his hold on me, I woke to find her squatting by the road, arms wrapped around her knees, staring out across the eastern dunes, toward the wall of fog on the horizon. The mist, the breath of the Silent King, lost in thoughts, or so I believed. I did not intrude, taking pains to remain silent as I packed away our equipment and hefted the load onto my back. Only then, when all stood in readiness, did I hold out her staff, even then in silence. At first I wasn't certain she noticed me, but then after a few moments, she cleared her throat. "Why do they stay? The spirits?" Following her gaze to the mist, I drew a deep breath. "Magic." She glanced up at me over her shoulder, her face hard. "Tell me." "Very well." I tapped her knee with the end of her staff. She took it and rose. "Thought and belief are much like those who walk unseen." I gestured to the road ahead and she followed. "They have no substance, no physical presence, yet shape everything that passes. Gold has value because the belief it does is shared by many. And by that belief, nations rise and fall, armies march, and all the world is clothed and fed." "Well," I laughed, "those with gold." When she didn't laugh, I smoothed the edges of my mustache and continued down the road. "Belief is the essence of all things, even after the soul departs. The souls of the dead that remain do so because they cling to what was and seek to recapture it. 'Tis folly. Time moves on, and even if they were able to return to the body they left, their time in the nether has changed them, as well as all they knew in life. But yearning blinds them. Should they return, the sensations of the flesh overwhelm them, and the result? Well, I suspect you shall see firsthand." Which reminded me, the mountains were safe enough, but the verge was another matter. If you're going to continue as my apprentice... I paused, stuffed my free hand into the collar of my robe, lifted a cord from my neck, and held it out to her. You ought to wear this, prominently. Her eyes widened, her mouth closed into a tiny O.
Is that...
a medicine wheel? I laughed. Quite. Along with the robes I gave you, it marks you as a sorceress in training. I don't think I shall ever forget the look she gave me as she lifted the wheel from my fingers. The tears that filled her eyes as she threaded the leather cord over her head and laid the wheel on her breast. The soft crack in her voice when she bowed her head, still caressing the beads along the edge, and whispered,
"Thank you."
Nor the warmth that filled my heart as we reached the base of the cliffs and strode out across the sands, making for the first marker. A pyramid of stones, peaked by a single wooden pole and marked by a long strip of red linen slithering gently in the morning breeze. She followed at my heels, though whatever thoughts stirred in her heart, she kept silent, as was her way, though her brow never stopped moving. Mile after mile, waypoint after waypoint, until at last a cool breeze broke the relentless heat of the desert sand, and we stood beside the final marker, staring down at the oasis below. A sprawling pool of water ringed by a wide expanse of emerald green, and beyond, on the far side of the lake, a chaotic jumble of tents, horses, and camels. Ah! I leaned on my staff and groaned. Behold, girl, the oasis of Osiris. Then nodded at the village beyond. And Ciro, city of the living. At this, she cocked her head, so I lifted my staff and pointed her attention to the eastern sky, to the wall of mist boiling only a few hours' walk from where we stood, and continued down the dune. Ciro. I confess, it had been some time since I walked the streets of Ciro, but little had changed. Mercenaries peered out from the shadows of their tents as we passed the barracks of the various clans. The Black Scorpions, Bloody Palms, the Sons of the Fanged Moon, among others. I had served them all in turn, treating their wounded, curing their infected and possessed. I nodded to a few old warriors I thought I recognized. One returned my greeting. But that day, 'twas not I that caught their eye, but the girl traipsing at my heels, she for whom they stood and covered their breasts with open palms.
"Why are they looking at me like that?"
she whispered as we passed the final barracks, pausing only long enough to glance back at the armies of the living pouring out of their tents, all of them watching, all of them with their hands on their breast. "Why, indeed?" I pointed my chin at the spire rising out of the sea of tents at the only stone structure in Ciro, the Temple of the Lady. It seems the midwives' stories had preceded our arrival.
"You mean..."
The girl turned back to the clans, nearly tripped, and hurried to catch up.
"The ones you told I was a sorceress?"
"Aye. And the midwife's propensity for embellishment borders nigh on myth," I grunted as I caught sight of the bazaar. The mass of pilgrims, warriors, priests, and desert dwellers milling about a wide plaza of booths and tents, like bees in some giant hive, all dancing to the shrill shouts of vendors hawking their wares. But even in that sea of chaos, more than a few heads turned our direction. I nodded at a group of veiled women eyeing us from a pecan booth and whispered to my protege, "By this point, you may well be the incarnation of the goddess herself." At this, she snatched my elbow, but whatever she meant to say was instantly cut short by the soft, insistent crackle of fire at our feet. "Ahem," the kobold repeated, spread his arms wide and bowed low.
"Great sorceress, my mistress bids you welcome and sends me with the offer of food and lodging so long as you remain in Ciro free of charge."
The girl glanced up at me and swallowed, evidently completely at a loss. "Our thanks, noble keeper of the hearth," I answered in his native tongue, and he turned his flaming eyes on mine. "But as she is my apprentice, we are as one. What is your mistress's name, that I may thank her for her generous offer?" The fire topping the cobalt head flared.
"The message was for the sorceress and her alone."
"Ah." I motioned the girl to keep walking and positioned myself between her and the kobold. "Then we must respectfully decline. Good day, and wish your mistress well on our behalf." And with that, taking the girl by the hands, I continued on, ignoring the creature entirely. Again, the girl tugged at my sleeve.
"What was that? That thing?"
"A kobold."
She stammered. "How is that possible?"
"Ah, yes." I threaded my way past a group of well-muscled men in red silk and pushed on toward the herbalist's shop, or at least where his shop had been on my last visit. "'Tis true, kobolds are among those who walk unseen, but as we discussed earlier, that which is not can have a powerful effect on the things that are. So it is with absolute belief." I pushed aside a goat with the end of my staff and noticed, on the far side of the street, the herbalist's tile. "Good," I sighed. "He's still here." I had just begun organizing a list in my mind when the girl interrupted.
"So someone believed it into existence?"
My list shattered. "What? Oh, yes. The kobold." I paused while a mother led her children past, then squeezed through an opening behind a camel. "Not exactly. Those who walk unseen are very real. They exist whether or not anyone believes in them, but belief, if sufficiently potent, can serve as a conduit to draw them into physical reality for a time. The stronger the belief, the more solid their form." She ducked under the camel's neck, face knotted in confusion as she brushed her hair behind her ear. A confusion, I fear, I only added to as I slipped my fingers through the herbalist's curtain and said, "Call it magic if you like, but it is belief that shapes reality," and stepped into the shop. The clash of cinnamon, lavender, coriander, and rosemary nearly overpowered the senses, as expected. But Julimar's standard greeting was nearly lost in the noise of clinking pots and crinkling paper.
"What the devil do you want?"
I strode past the rack of mandrakes drying overhead, stepped around a sack of sulfur powder, found the old man on all fours under his collection of dried cat's livers, and leaned on my staff. "It's the devil I want," I laughed.
"You?"
Julimar withdrew from his burrow, pulled a white cloth from his back pocket, and dabbed the sweat from his flushed bald head.
"Well, that explains a lot."
He stuffed the cloth back in its place.
"Devil's right. All Ciro's abuzz with talk of some all-bloody powerful sorceress come to slay the bringer of death."
A loud ring of brass pulled my attention to the girl bent over a pile of charm bracelets.
"What?"
she almost shouted, eyes wide, face pale, a bracelet rolling in circles at her feet. Julimar's whole body shrunk.
"I should have known. I should have bloody well known."
With almost supernatural speed, particularly for a man of his age and weight, he jumped to his feet, wagging his plump finger in my face.
"Well, you got the hornets bloody stirred up now, you do. Midwives been telling anyone gotta pee, the king's days be numbered, bloody merchants spread the tale from here to God's nowhere."
He paused, drew a long breath, and mopped his head again.
You know words got back to the Umu, don't ya? You have any idea the trouble you caused? They ain't gonna wait for...
He licked his lips, glanced side to side as if making sure we were alone, and whispered,
"He's coming."
Julimar drew himself up to his full height, took on the air of someone who had just ended the possibility of debate, and folded his arms across his chest.
"Him, the Silent King, is coming. His self to deal with."
He nodded at my protege.
"Her."
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We didn't linger with Julimar. He seemed to be in particularly bad temper, and the effect his unsolicited information had on my protege was less than ideal, and I found myself eager to pay the midwives a visit so as to ascertain the nature of the tales they had been spreading. So after procuring the necessary supplies, we left his shop behind us and made for the spire of the lady. The girl, for her part, followed as she always had. Though her silent contemplations grew laconic and her ever-dancing brow stilled into a washboard of deep crevasses, I allowed her the solace of her thoughts. In truth, I had no words to comfort her. No wisdom but what I gave her as we approached the great stone steps of the temple. When she paused at the feet of the statue at their base, as she stood gaping up at the lady, glaring defiantly at the pale green mist shrouding the eastern sky. "The lady," I croaked as I leaned to my staff. "Defender of life, unlike the clans who seek to battle the armies of the king by sword and axe, 'twas her belief that so long as life is renewed, death could never stand victorious. That death of one's foes only strengthened the evil that plagues our world, and so her daughters, the midwives, seek to ensure that life is renewed."
"Belief?"
The girl wiped her eyes.
"How did she die?"
I tossed her a smirk and picked up my staff. "Why do you assume she died?" And with that, continued on. Upon entry, we were greeted by the Keeper of the Flame, a kindly aged woman, even by my standards. She approached, gave a slight bow, and in her frail voice said,
"Greetings, Preserver of the Sacred."
Then, catching sight of my protege, bowed again.
"And to you, great sorceress."
She rose and motioned for us to follow.
"You have been expected. Come."
She led us around the nave to the private recesses of the temple, whereupon we were met by the prelate and her acolytes, seated around a long, narrow dining table filled with such bounty my protege gasped out loud. I was relieved of my pack and staff with the assurance they would be delivered to our accommodations for the night and ushered to a place of prominence beside the prelate. Thanks was given, and while I had not, in memory, partaken of so great a fare, the conversation that accompanied our meal did nothing to aid the digestion. It seemed my initial suspicion regarding the rumors of my protege's station was quite correct, though not at all brought about by random chance. The prelate welcomed the midwives we had encountered in the mountains, but not before they had spoken to several merchants and clansmen regarding the sorceress traveling in the company of a son of Hippocrates. Even I, the wandering wizard, when she caught the wind of the tales filling the streets of Ciro, the prelate abandoned her pursuit of truth and instead resolved to yoke the power of that belief, to fertilize and focus it into hope, and place the power of that belief solely upon the shoulders of the young girl in my company, to use her as bait to draw out the Vilak Umu and the Silent King, and as a banner on the battlefield by which to drive the armies of the living to such reckless courage as to end the influence of the Umu forever. She divulged all this plainly and unbidden, chin raised, lips pursed, palms flat on the table beside her plate. The very image of self-satisfied arrogance, she raised her cup. To the age of life. Her acolytes echoed her sentiment. I caught my apprentice's dumbstruck expression out of the corner of my eye, and when they had drunk in celebration of what had not yet come to pass, I raised my hands and clapped. Truly a magnificent plan. Unless your banner should fall. The room went silent. Banners cannot be concealed if they are to perform their intended task. You have already made her the focal point of those who do not wish to walk unseen, as well as the king's forces. I lifted my cup, inspected the rim. Tell me, if she falls on the battlefield before the eyes of all, would it not shatter the belief you so carefully cultivated? Would it not instead bolster the power of the Umu? I peered up from my cup into the seething eyes of the prelate. Would the ancient boundaries of his realm remain unmoved? Or would all fall under the thumb of the Vilak Umu? And what would you have us do? Fight an endless battle we can never win, but must always fight? As day by day the will to fight drains away and the mist draws ever closer? The prelate's nostrils flared, she coughed out a single barking laugh and swept her hand across all in attendance. Behold the wisdom of a preserver of life. Her hand dropped to the table. No, wizard. The status quo will not save us. We must go on the offense. I did not argue further, only resolved to take advantage of the food and lodging the midwives offered and leave Ciro before sunrise. Before the prelate could act. Spirit. As the feast progressed, many speeches were given. All spoke of victory, of the new order. I heard none of them, only random phrases that caught my ear. Salutes to my protege, to the lady, to Osiris. No, my focus was on our next move. No doubt the midwives would move to prevent our departure. We needed to put as much distance between ourselves and Ciro as possible before they realized we had gone. But, bearing the reputation they had garnered on our behalf, I saw no means at my disposal to attain assistance. Indeed, any of my contacts would likely prove false. As the feast concluded, as we were led to our chamber, only one course seemed plausible. We must shed the mantles of my order and make for the mist, to hide among the denizens of the king, and perhaps do more to serve life there than we ever could here. It was this course I resolved to follow as I lay down to sleep, when her quiet voice roused me. What you said about me dying, about everyone losing hope, and the king winning. I rolled over, pulled the covers under my cheek, and stared out into the darkness at the dim shape speaking to me from her bed. I whispered, my eyelids heavy. Wars are not won or lost in the fighting, but in the soul. Crush the belief, destroy hope, and your enemy falls. Beat his army, but not his spirit, he will rise again. I closed my eyes, and the prelate has made you the soul of all the living. 'Tis madness to risk. But whatever I meant to say was lost to slumber, to Morpheus, and when I woke, well before the rising sun, she was gone, along with her staff, robes, and amulet. Enraged, I barged into the prelate's private chapel, grabbed her by the throat as she spoke her morning prayer. How dare you! Two guards took hold of my arms, pulled me back, and the prelate fell to her knees, gasping, Have you gone mad? I managed to free myself from one of the guards, and a third shouldered me into the wall. You steal my apprentice, spirit her away in the middle of the night like a thief. I spit, my face plastered against a mosaic of the lady giving succor to a wounded child. Tis not I who've gone mad, wench. At this, the prelate staggered to her feet, eyes wide. Gone? Massaging her throat, she leveled a finger at one of the acolytes watching from the doorway. You check their chambers. Then at another, find the keeper of the flame. And yet another, go search all of Ciro if you must. I want her found. Only then, after a long deep breath, after slumping against the rail before the altar, did she wave to the guards. Release him and go. As they left, she ordered the door be closed so we could talk alone. You know her best. Where would she go? I shook my head, still not entirely convinced this was not some sort of ruse, but at last in control of my faculties. I'm afraid my answer will not satisfy. She is brave and kind, but hers is a quiet spirit. She does not share her thoughts. A true daughter of Hippocrates. The prelate shook her head. But I don't need to ask. The apprentice follows the master, and I know your order well. She peered up from under a lock of silver that came undone in our struggle. She's gone to the mist. Her eyes narrowed. But to fight or flee, I cannot be certain. If she is like you, perhaps both.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Into the Mist. 'Twasn't long before the prelate's acolytes returned, confirming what we had already surmised. The girl had indeed made for the mist, but not alone. Evidently, a column of the Sons of the Fanged Moon encountered her on their march to relieve their brethren at the front, and welcomed her company with more than subdued fanfare, according to the acolyte's breathless account. News the prelate received with the same sort of pleased expression a cat with a pigeon in its teeth might wear, and called her daughters all together that they may make the most of this unexpected, fortunate turn of events. I, however, waited until they were deep in conversation, gathered my pack and staff, and quietly departed for the northern reaches of the front where the Sons of the Fanged Moon had always made their stand. My journey was not quick, however, as I encountered many wounded among those returning from the front. Spectre chilled, ghoul bit, and many more who had fallen to sword and hammer, all of whom required my aid, all of whom I was bound by oath to tend. Days turned into weeks, months into years. Doubt crept into the recesses of my mind, doubt that I had pursued the correct course, that I would ever find her. Yet never did I abandon my search. Never did I neglect my duty. Where my brethren labored, I lended aid. When the prelate sent midwives to call me back to Ciro, I enlisted them as nurses or sent them for supplies, staff, or trained them to function more adequately as healers. Upon learning of my efforts, of my needs, the prelate rescinded the prohibition preventing women from beholding the internal workings of the body, and the midwives, once trained, became indispensable. And as each aid station was fortified, I moved on, ever searching, ever healing, leaving a string of hospital tents in my wake as I made my way along the front. Each stop became a bastion against the crush of the mist, the bodies of those we could not save, kept from those who walked unseen by shaman warriors called to service by word of the sorceress's power, to serve in my army of mercy. Yet, even in this malaise of doubt and pain, hope blossomed. New patients spoke of my protege's exploits, how she led the assault against the wraiths of Keldor, how the mist itself had ceased its advance when she took the field at Saskatchewan. Songs of glory and reverence. But not all news was so. Twice she was nearly captured when the Vilak Umu arrived, carrying the king on his throne. Once at the hands of traitors, and the price the Umu offered for information was as well known as it was enticing, even among the clans. And always I worried for her safety, knowing exactly what fate awaited her should she be captured. Her body hollowed of its spirit, filled with an abomination that would kneel before the king and his priests. Or worse, that she would remain within her form, but twisted by their arts. Not a fallen banner, but a twisted savior. The mere thought of this kept me from any one post too long. If I caught wind that she may appear in any particular place, there I went, leaving behind a new outpost of healing. And when I arrived, began training new physicians as quickly as possible. In this also, the midwives proved indispensable. The prelate, whose scheming I never forgave, kept up a steady stream of midwives and supplies. The shamans too demonstrated themselves worthy allies, even turning back enemy soldiers when the lines buckled and we found ourselves no longer safe behind the lines. But the war went on, just as it had when I served here with my brethren decades ago. Just as it always had, and it seemed it ever would. But unlike then, I had no belief I could stem the tide, nor that my contribution ever mattered. The wounded would never stop, no matter my ministrations. They were endless. No, my purpose was different. Find her, no matter how long it took. Keep her safe. 'Twas in this haze of grim purpose, as I stood stuffing the entrails of a fallen soldier back into his bowels, a familiar voice called.
How fare you, great wizard?
I spun on my heel, nearly dropping my forceps. But while her voice was the same, the girl she was, the girl I knew, was gone. Her eyes wore a predatory gaze. Her crimson robes shone brighter, fit tighter, and bore armored plates. And instead of the staff of a healer, a sword swung at her hip. Yet the curl of her lips were the same. The same medicine wheel hung from her neck. I grunted, doing my best not to smile. Come to lend a hand? She tipped her head, eyes laughing,
and to my surprise strode forward, kneeled, and began collecting the soiled bandages at my feet.
When I heard you were close, I couldn't resist paying my old mentor a visit.
She held up a bloody scrap, smirked, and tossed it into the bucket.
How have you been?
Busy. I nodded at the other tables, the rows of surgeons hard at work, some of my order, some midwives, some shamans, then to the midwife assisting me, and asked her to close. You never completed your training. Shame, too. You showed promise, and the piles of wounded only grow. She rose as I stepped aside to clean my hands, and for the first time I caught the hint of weariness on her voice.
Hopefully, not for much longer.
I dipped my hands into the bowl. Dried them in a towel. I wasn't aware the war was going so well. She glanced about the tent at the soldiers, those who were awake, watching her in reverent silence, raised her chin and folded her hands behind her back. Every bit the sorceress, the myth of story and song she had become.
It ends today, my old friend, she stated plainly, as if certain, as if it had already come to pass,
then stared off, past the crowd gathered in the opening of the tent, across the ravine beyond, to a hill in the distance barely visible through the mist. And it occurred to me, never before had I been able to see so far. Never before had the mist been so thin.
On that rise.
Gasps followed her declaration, murmurs of the sorceress's magic, her ability to see the future. But as I stared out across the armies of the living, the massive force that accompanied her here still taking up their positions, I knew better. Magic was a term of ignorance, a description of what was, as of yet, unknown. But her declaration bore the scent of purpose, of intent. No, whatever she foresaw was born of planning and execution, not arcane power. Today the banner falls? I peered over my spectacles into her strange piebald eyes. For a moment her gaze softened, her chin shook, and she answered with a single, almost imperceptible nod, one that ended in a slow, creeping smirk as she turned to leave. Indeed. War holds no glory for the surgeon. Our deeds are not recorded in the annals of history. We receive no medals, no parades, only the frantic drudgery of heroes whose courage silenced their survival instinct. One body melds into the next, and time itself loses all meaning. So 'twas the battle passed in my outpost of mercy. In the form of brief glimpses stole through the entrance of the tent as I washed between patients, as the midwives cleaned the table and brought in the next hero. Swarms of ants swarming this way and that, flashes of light, shouts carried on the wind. Chaos, impossible to make sense of, and always the never-ending tide of wounded. And then it happened. Just as I drew the last drops of ghoul venom from a wound, a loud shout drew my attention to the battle, to the hill beyond the valley. Wherefore the Vilak Umu now stood, bearing the Silent King's throne on their shoulders, bold, victorious. The armies of the living fell back, and in that moment my heart cracked. She, my friend, my daughter, had fallen. And with her, hope. I reached for the bowl, numb, broken. But another roar drew my gaze to the hill, to the small force pushing forward. It pierced the line defending the king, and a single figure raced up the hill. A flash of crimson caught my eye, and one of the king's bearers fell. The throne tipped. The figure leapt, jerked the gilded mummy from its throne, and tossed it aside. A great cheer rolled through the valley, but before I could make sense of what my eyes had seen, a midwife's gentle voice called me back to the task at hand. To yet another young hero laid out before me on the table, half his face torn away by some beast's claws. Far too young, and once handsome. Victory, I grumbled, then sniffing, began testing the gash for signs of poison. I don't know how long the battle lasted after the king fell, after his forces lost faith. The armies moved on, one in retreat, one in pursuit. I understand there was a great feast, that the sorceress paid me great honor in her speech. But my army remained. The midwives scoured the fallen for days, searching for wounded on both sides and bringing them to my outpost to be healed. The mist faded, the horrors called to the physical plane by the strength of belief either vanished with the power of the Umu or retreated to the dark places of the earth. The places men fear. And I, once my task was done, traveled deep into the freed lands, searching for those who needed my aid. As for the sorceress, my friend and student, I heard of her exploits, her efforts to heal the rifts between the different clans and sects. Rifts that had been forgotten during the time of the king, but remembered at his fall. Humanity, it seems, never tires of war and killing. But her, I never saw again. Though, always, she remains in my heart.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I hope you enjoyed tonight's episode, Apprentice, by Dirk Stevens. Dirk Stevens exists only as a fantasy, more at home among the fairies and goblins of his imagination than roaming the mundane realm of mortals. He's an award-winning member of the Springfield Writers Guild. If you enjoyed tonight's tale, check the Fear from the Heartland archives to pull up one or all of the other 24 or so stories by Dirk Stevens. In early 2026, a short story anthology titled Echoes of Myth and Magic was released by Dirk and Chilling Tales for Dark Nights. It can be found on Amazon and Audible. I am proud to say I am the narrator of this fine collection. If you enjoyed tonight's story hosted by yours truly, Paul J. McSorley, you can search my name on Chilling Tales for Dark Nights on YouTube for additional previous stories. If you'd like to hear more lengthy tales, be sure to take a look at my audiobooks. Available now on audible.com or just visit paulsbooks.net. That's P-A-U-L-S-B-O-O-K-S.net.
You can also find me personally on Facebook and Twitter. And with that, listeners, our weekly journey into the psyche has just about come to a close. But before we go, I'd like to take a moment to thank you for joining us for tonight's episode and remind you to take a moment to stop by our iTunes page and leave Chilling Tales for Dark Nights a 5-star review and a kind word. And follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram if you haven't already. And while you're at it, please remember to stop by our Apple Podcast page or wherever else you listen to your favorite podcasts and subscribe. The charts are based on subscriptions, not listens. So if you haven't subscribed yet, I'd really appreciate it. I'm your host for Fear from the Heartland, Paul J. McSorley. I've enjoyed the titillation tonight. Ooh, there's that word again. Thank you for joining me. Hope to see you again next week at Fear from the Heartland.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.